Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. So the particular paper I'm going to talk about is this one that I wrote with Pratik Ruth. You should also take a look at this paper by Shi, Daniel, and Don, released on the same day. A lot of overlap, so they're both interesting. The main result I want to tell you about today is written here. So the known holographic prescription for computing Ranya entropy using cosmic brains is, to some large extent, drivable just completely within the formalism of quantum error correction. So that's what I'm going to be telling you about. Up to a few necessary restrictions on the code, but that's actually going to be a feature and not a bug, because by demanding that the ADS-EFT code satisfies the known holographic prescription, we'll learn about the code. So some background. So in 2014, while Mary, Dong, and Harla argued that ADS-CFT should be understood as a quantum error correcting code. In a particular sense that I will tell you about in a bit. But a very interesting follow-up to this was from Harlow in 2016, who argued that the Ryutaki-Nagi formula with the FLM correction, which I'll tell you about in a second, can be understood as a property of this code. Okay, so what is Ryutaki-Nagi and FLM? As a quick reminder, it's in the context of ADS-CFT. Here I'm drawing a typical Penner's diagram. So you imagine that you have some subregion of the boundary A, and you want to compute its von Neumann entropy. So if the subregion has a density matrix rho A, the von Neumann entropy is defined as minus trace rho A log rho A. And this formula gives you a way of using the bulk dual to actually compute this quantity, and it says the following thing. So consider some extremal surface in the bulk that is homologous to A. So in the RT case, it's actually just minimal. And we'll call this surface gamma A. Then the entropy, the leading order, is the area of this surface divided by 4g Newton. And there's a known FLM quantum correction to this. Most notable piece is if you consider this area that is bounded by gamma A and A, call that little a, then the entropy, the von Neumann entropy of this bulk region is part of the FLM correction. So we write that here, S bulk. I might write S bulk of rho A, if I were so inclined. Okay. Good. So I will give you a very quick review of quantum error correction and then show you how you see RT from these error correcting codes. Okay. So this is the RT in quantum error correction plus review of quantum error correction. So the idea of quantum error correction in ADS-CFT is the following. So you have some Hilbert space, which you're supposed to imagine is the Hilbert space of your CFT, of the boundary theory. And so I'll write that here. It's like H CFT. And you imagine that this Hilbert space factorizes across some subregion split of the boundary. So here we've drawn an example A, and then A bar would be the complement on the boundary, right? And likewise, A bar has some bulk dual, which is little a bar, which is the complement of little a in the bulk. So you also imagine that you have some subspace called H code. So it's a subspace of H. I might draw it like this. And you're supposed to imagine that H code is the Hilbert space associated to semi-classical gravity in the bulk. So it's like H bulk.
Around the vacuum or some particular state.
Good. So I'm going to take it to be the Hilbert space of just semi-classical gravity, like the entire effective field theory's Hilbert space. You'll see why I want to do that later on, but that's a good point. So H code is often taken to be around some particular saddle, but I'm going to argue later on that you can actually just imagine H code includes many different saddles and excitations on top of them. Okay.
But then, sorry.
Yeah.
Do they form a linear space then if you take arbitrary saddles?
So by form a linear space, you're saying like, would the natural basis I would consider be sort of overcomplete or something like that?
Oh, I just mean but the linear combinations of things in H code would still be in H code.
Yeah.
So you'll consider superpositions of different classical geometries.
That's right, yeah. That's right. So we'll consider superpositions of these different classical geometries to also be in H code. Right. So not every state that we can make in H code will be a nice geometry.
But then what picks H code a priori?
So I would argue that it is the Hilbert space of bulk semi-classical gravity, that effective field theory Hilbert space.
No, but superpositions are not in bulk semi-classical gravity.
That's a better definition. Semi-classical
is included in all superpositions. Yeah. That's what I'm going to go with for now. So
your space, take its linear span, and there's your space.
Yeah.
Especially if the superposition doesn't involve a huge number of states, then there's no okay in terms of if we compute the expectation values, we can still calculate things classically, semi-classically.
But the linear span in principle involves arbitrarily many states.
I guess here we could take, for example, when H code is only has an order one number of possible semi-classical geometries. That's one choice.
But that's not a linear space.
And there are some positions.
You can consider a particular H code defined by a particular order one semi-classical geometry. That is a linear space.
But would you allow superposition of vacuum ideas with a black hole?
We could.
So we are specifically going to be interested not just, so we're going to be interested in operator algebra, quantum correcting codes, which are defined as follows. So we define some von Neumann algebra M that acts on H code. So you're supposed to think of these as operators that would act in little a. And with respect to this von Neumann algebra, the code subspace can be decomposed as follows. So it has this block diagonal form.
Yeah.
And furthermore, the operators in this algebra are also block diagonal in this basis. So let's write this out. So if this is one operator that's in the algebra, it'll take on some form like this. Where it acts just on little a and is trivial on little a bar. Okay. And there's also, you should consider m prime, which is the set of operators that commute with m. And these you should think of as the operators acting in little a bar. And they satisfy something similar to this, except the identity is here on the a, the little a part, and they're non-trivial on the little a bar part. Okay. And finally, there are operators that are in both m and the commutant of m, which are the center operators. And some operator in the center. So imagine this, so this is in Zm. Would take on a form like this, where it's proportional to the identity on each block, but not necessarily proportional to the identity overall. Okay, good.
So in ScriptTM, there are no operators which are sort of tensor products of barred and unbarred guys. All this O tensor identity?
Yeah, in general it's like, yeah, in general it's O tensor identity on each block. Did that answer your question? What was your?
I just mean if I just have little a and little a bar, like there are operators that are like O of A tensor O prime of A bar. Those are not in M, or?
Yeah, so these that factorize overall, you could, let's see. I think these, that's like a special case of this, right? You can, let's see. So, good.
M is not the full Vondermann algebra on H code. You're interested in a particular Vondermann algebra that acts on H code, and
that's right.
You think of it as, in the ball, the operators that live on one particular sign of the tangent.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so that's
your
question. Yeah. Okay. Then what it means to encode this algebra M into this factor is the following thing. So in other words, what it means to have all the operators, this algebra that acts on little a, encoded as some operators that act on capital A is the following thing. So first, HA admits the following decomposition. So here, HA1 has the same dimension as H little a alpha. And that's really the important piece here. And the following thing is true. So these states, which form a basis for the code subspace, can be written as follows. Okay, and here I'm specifying that we're not working with just any operator algebra quantum error correcting code, but one with what's called complementary recovery. This is, I'll tell you what this means, but it's something that ADS-CFT satisfies, at least to the order that we're working. So this is a recent picture when we're talking about the ADS-CFT code. Come below me. I'll just do this. Okay. So these types of codes have this property. So your intuition for this should be this is equivalent to any other definition you might come up with for what it means to encode this algebra in HA. Because it, roughly speaking, defines an isometry between bulk states and boundary states.
I'm sorry, simple question. Can we go back? What's the intuitive picture of the interpretation of alpha?
Good, okay. So I was going to get more into this later on, but one way you might want to understand these different alpha blocks is by the operators for which each alpha block is an eigenspace, right, which is these center operators we've defined. So each block has a different eigenvalue for these center operators. So the center operators, in some sense, give a physical interpretation to these blocks. And as we'll see, in ADS-CFT, one such center operator is the Reed-Takinagi area operator. So these different alpha blocks are like different eigenspaces of the area operator. And you can get more fine-grained than that. So there's they're actually eigenspaces of the metric modulo diffeomorphisms along the surface, but included in that is the area. So, good question. And we'll talk more about this as we go on. Okay. So given this form of the state, and you have an quantum error correcting code, we can write down a general density matrix for subregion A. And this density matrix will be extremely important for the rest of the talk.
What's the interpretation of A2 and A1?
Oh, good, good. Okay, so A1 is the factor of A on which you are putting the quantum information of the bulk. This is an encoded state that encodes the information of the bulk. So this is a state on the boundary, and then if you wanted to extract one particular factor that contained all of this information in a decoded way, you might act these unitaries, or they're conjugates, and then on this factor A1, you would have the information about the bulk region little a. That's what it is. Does that?
Yeah.
Okay. So just writing down a general state in density matrix form and then taking the trace over A bar naturally gives you the following thing. Okay, so I'll explain my notation in a second. So this is so important, I'm going to box it because I'm going to come back to it. So this density matrix, this acts on the A1 factor. So it's the density matrix that encodes the information of the bulk matter fields. Okay, and this density matrix, this acts on HA2 and is my shorthand for the following thing. So you just took these chi alpha states, which live in this part of the Hilbert space, and you took a trace over A bar, really, A2 bar, because that's all that's left in them. That gives you this density matrix chi alpha. So in some sense, the row holds the logical information And this chi is the redundant piece that, you know, that the boundary uses to help encode the information.
Okay. What's P?
Good. So we're going to talk a lot about what P is, but P is essentially some distribution over, as it looks like, it's just some number. So it's a it helps you define your, it's your distribution over the different alpha blocks. And we'll talk a lot about what that physically means in ADS-CFT later on.
But here, for example, in general, you are taking a general mixed state in the code subspace built from those alpha ijs.
Yes.
And the P is part of the definition of the mixed state.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's what I mean. So the P is just part of the definition of the state. Okay. So with this, you can see the connection to Rita Akinagi that Harlow pointed out. If you just compute the von Neumann entropy of this density matrix. So it just equals the following thing. So here, writing down, sort of this term is the Shannon entropy of these P's. This term is the average entropy of these different alpha blocks. Okay. So if you just straightforwardly compute the von Neumann entropy of this density matrix, you get this. And the connection to RT plus FLN is that...
Sorry, what's L?
Good, thanks. So the connection is the following thing. So L is some operator defined as follows. So it's... So it's one of these operators that's in the center, because it's proportional to the identity in each block, but not overall. Okay, and so L we are going to interpret as the area operator for a few reasons. So one is, if you do that, it matches RT nicely. Right, so both the area here and this expectation value of this operator are some expectation value of a linear operator. And moreover, this operator is in the center of your algebra, which is what you would expect for the area operator, because the area of the surface that divides little a and little a bar, we expect to be computable on either side. Okay, so basically, for these reasons, we interpret LA as the area operator, and this term then looks like the expectation value of the area over 4G Newton. And these terms are what you would naturally define as the von Neumann entropy of the algebra M. So this is the algebraic von Neumann entropy of the algebra M, which you would interpret as S bulk. Okay. Good. So this is background. Okay. So there is a generalization of von Neumann entropy. Called the Rényi entropy, and the Rényi entropy is this quantity. So it's this quantity. Here, rho is normalized. And you might wonder if the Rényi entropy, being a generalization of von Neumann entropy, has a generalization of Ryu Takinagi. And in fact, the answer is known to be no. or at least believed. However, in 2016, Xudong argued that another related generalization of the von Neumann entropy, in fact, does satisfy generalization of Ryutaki-Nagi. So this quantity is called many different things by now, but I guess we'll call it the refined Rényi entropy, because that appears to be the name that everyone's going with now. Okay. So we called it the modular entropy in our paper, and then 24 hours after we submitted, two papers came out that had this new name for it.
Two papers came out?
Yeah, yeah. So she had another paper that had called it the refined.
Oh, his other paper came out.
Yeah, yeah. We did not get the memo. So. Okay, so this quantity is related to the Rényi entropy in this way. And in fact, has an interesting Ryutaki-Nagi generalization, which is the following thing. Oh, I should say, this quantity, both of these quantities, when n equals 1, equals the von Neumann entropy. Okay. Away from n equals 1, they're different. So that's the sense in which they're both generalizations.
Sorry, can I ask something? In this case,
uh-huh.
If let's say I have only one alpha, there is no alpha,
okay.
Then I just have one matrix, right?
Yeah.
Then P alpha is just 1, right?
Yeah.
And then this P alpha log P alpha term goes away?
Yeah, right.
And then the bulk term you say is just S of rho alpha?
Yes, that's right.
And what does the become of the first term in that case?
It becomes the same, it's just something proportional to the identity.
No, but after taking the trace, would the answer is just...
Oh, complex. It's just, yeah, it's just the S of chi for that one block. Something proportional to the identity.
Okay. And the rho alpha doesn't enter, rho should enter, right?
So it doesn't necessarily enter because it's... So this is normalized, and this is proportional to the identity, so it's, it doesn't really matter what state you take.
Okay.
Good. Good, so the interesting holographic prescription for computing this is called the cosmic brain prescription. I don't know who came up with this. I just started saying it, but it probably came from someone. But y'all also said this, right?
Look what Spada said it in their paper.
They said the cosmic brain prescription?
I had it basically not.
Oh, I mean the name, cosmic brain prescription.
I don't know.
Okay. Yes, okay. So I should also cite Luke Witzmann in 2014. It was 14, okay. Before I started doing this stuff. So the cosmic brain prescription is a holographic prescription for computing this quantity. So just like in the Ryutaki-Nagi setup, you imagine that you have this subregion A with a reduced density matrix that we're going to, for consistency, call rho tilde A. And so you consider, so the prescription is, this state has some bulk dual that you imagine is defined by doing some path integral with I bulk as the action. And maybe there's some sources to define whatever state you want. And the cosmic brain prescription says, consider a new state defined by the same sources, but shift the action this. So what you've done in words here is to the action you have added the action of a brain, so a cosmic brain that is homologous to A, and this brain has tension n minus 1 over 4n gn, and then you've multiplied that by n. So you're now considering the state defined by this action. And then in that new bulk state, which we'll call the brain state, this refined Rényi entropy equals the area of this brain. So it's just the area operator as the expectation value plus the refined Rényi entropy of the bulk. Okay. So this is qualitatively very similar to the Ritaki-Nagi formula, so that's the sense in which we say it's a generalization. Also, you can note that when n goes to 1, it reduces to the Ritaki-Nagi formula. Okay. So what we want out of this talk, what I want, is to convince you that we can see this prescription to a large extent within the formalism of quantum error correction. Okay. So to do that, we'll start by just computing the refined Rényi entropy of this density matrix. And a couple interesting things about the refined Rényi entropy that I didn't know before this was it actually equals the von Neumann entropy of some other state that we'll call rho n, where rho n is defined as rho to the n normalized, which I think has interesting implications for other uses. Like maybe you want to compute the von Neumann entropy of some state in your condensed matter lab, and it's harder to compute the von Neumann entropy than the Rényi entropy maybe, and so maybe you can actually compute this quantity for a related state more easily and then equate that to the von Neumann entropy you wanted. So anyways, this might be an interesting quantum information quantity to study.
But in some sense, doesn't this mean that it's not very computable, just like the von Neumann entropy is not very computable? Because it's equal to still something that is like rho log rho.
Yeah, so by computable, you mean like analytically?
Or measurable.
Or measurable. Well, yeah, I
imagine. They measure the second Rényi entropy, they cannot take the derivative.
Right. I think there are schemes that people have thought of that would measure higher Rényi entropies as well. And maybe someone could argue that you might be able to extrapolate, but to actually take some finite difference and compute this to some extent. I think that would be an interesting direction to consider. But yeah. Okay. So if you just plug this into this equation, plug that into here. Straightforward to see that the refined Rényi entropy of this quantity I'll define what I mean by some of these things, like this operator. But it's going to look similar to the Ryu-Takinagi thing that we wrote down. Okay, so this is an important equation because what I want to argue for the rest of the time is that you should interpret this side as doing exactly this prescription. That so, for example, forget about this piece, which so this piece we'll argue is what we called the refined range entropy of the bulk. This piece that we would take to be leading order in ADS-C of T, I want to argue is not in general, for a general operator algebra quantum error correcting code, something that you would interpret as evaluating the area operator's expectation value in the brain state, or in some brain state. But in ADS-C of T, you should interpret this as the expectation value of the area operator in some state that we'll call the brain state.
I'm sorry, but what is it? A brain state is the state you get by the replica method?
Yes, it's the state defined by this action. I'll be a little bit more clear in a second when I start talking about the path integral, but I mean the state defined by this action.
So you mean the bulk state defined by that action?
Yes, yes.
And what is that a state of?
What do you mean?
Well, you'll tell me more about it.
I will, yeah. Okay.
It's you've got this additional term, a brain, that looks like a codimension to the baseline brain.
Yes.
It's not a state of the original theory, because it has a different bulk dynamics.
Good.
So when you say it's a brain state, I'm trying to understand what this terminology means.
Good. So I will be, okay. So what I really mean is that in the sense that you could look at some state like this and interpret it as having some bulk geometry from these P alphas, which we'll talk about, you would then look at this state as having that same action, except weighted by this new additional piece. So if you had, okay, does this make sense?
It'll be really good. We'll talk later.
Okay. I hope it'll become clear as I say more definitive things.
But it's a state that is in the bulk Hilbert space that's just on one side of the surface, right? So the
which bulk? Yeah.
Good. So,
but it lives in the same abstract. No, it lives in the bottom.
I will. Let's see. I'm gonna argue that this state does live in the same. Okay, I'm interested to hear what you mean. Okay, I'm going to argue that this state does live in the same Hilbert space as this. The main difference is that this is going to be different. So it will correspond to a different geometry.
You pointed at rho tilde a n, which is the normalized version of rho to n. So I understand that. That's a thing which could be thought of as a state on A in the usual Hilbert space.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if you meant that as the brain state, or if you meant, but it's something that lives on, okay, I didn't know if you meant that as the brain state, or if you really meant something defined via this action on the left, which might make sense in non-integer N, and which also is something which has this extra brain piece in the action.
So I have to argue to you that those are the same.
I mean, if you consider it an ordinary D-brain, you could describe it in the bulk by adding your standard DBI action for the brain. But you can also describe it in terms of the boundary state, right? And so we have parallel descriptions of this. So from a holographic perspective in the quantum field theory, you can describe it as a boundary state in the quantum field theory, or you can also describe it by adding...
But it's not a D-brain.
It's not a D-brain, but I mean, it could be the same kind of analogous thing here. That
you
have
it's not a space-like slide. It's a space-like brain. You don't define a Hilbert. You don't define a state of a space.
You're only attempting to describe the state in a piece of in a part of the spacetime that lies on one side of the surface. That part doesn't contain, or only contains the brain on the boundary, so you don't care about the dynamics of the brain, right? So it doesn't affect all the space theory, which is interesting.
That sounds reasonable. So, just to be clear,
between these two things. So if you tell me that it's really rho tilde n we're talking about, I'm calling the brain state.
That's okay. Yeah.
But if that's just another name for this replica state that I'm having.
Okay, let's go with that for now, and then I think. If I understand you correctly, what I want to argue is that you should interpret this as this being related to this in the same way that the state prepared by this action is related to this. So we'll talk about that. I'm interested to hear.
Maybe a more concrete question is whether this row A tilde N is in the code subspace or not in the quantum error graphing language.
Yes, I would say it is in the code subspace. Yes.
With no constraint on chi and so on. Maybe you are going to write down.
I will write down what chi used to be.
Okay.
Let me have something simpler, which doesn't involve the bound.
Okay.
On the boundary, I'm supposed to construct a state on the branched cover.
Oh, on the branched.
Now, on the boundary, I'm supposed to construct the linear entropy, I'm supposed to take the branched cover.
Yes.
Okay. Now, is the Hilbert space on the branched cover the same as the one after taking the quotient, the same as the one before taking the branched cover?
That's a good question. I guess here we're, I would say we're assuming that they are. This. So you're saying consider the CFT before you branch and then quotient versus after you do that.
Yeah. Have you operated after doing the quotient?
That's a good point. I haven't thought much about this subtlety.
Based on which spatial slice? It was based on which spatial slice?
Original spatial slice with conical distance.
Basically, yeah, I should explain.
Okay. Okay. I would like to talk more about this later on. I just want to establish some things.
If there's no entangling surface on the boundary, then they are manifestly the same.
But the whole point is there's an entangling surface because that's why you have the branching. Otherwise, how would you?
The whole story comes through even when there's no boundary entangling surface. You can take some of the double state or their analogs.
Isn't the claim just that you've inserted a twist operator and that's where it kind of
But the state with the twist operator is not low.
This is a very interesting point. I want to establish some more of this formalism and then talk about this. Okay. So this state, just for definiteness, is this. Where P alpha n is the following thing. So the reason I wrote this out is so I can write what P alpha n is. Normalized. And an interesting way to rewrite this is the following. So you can turn these traces into exponentials of Brayton entropies. Still normalized. Okay. All right, and then finally, let me define this operator for you. So this, can everyone see that? So this is, has a very similar form to the area operator. It's block diagonal. It's in the center as well. But it's the refined Rayne entropy of each of these chi alpha. Okay. So in general, for arbitrary chi alpha, this does not equal the area operator.
So I can come back to my original question. So here, tilde A M doesn't seem to be generally a state in a code subspace because chi is replaced by chi N. And the general state in the code subspace needs to be written in the box.
Good. Okay, so one of our conclusions, partially for this reason, is going to be that chi alpha needs to be proportional to a projector. That's the only way to make this quantity match this cosmic brand prescription. And in that case, chi n actually does equal chi. So it is in the code subspace.
But in the general case where chi is not a projection,
then right, it would not be.
This equation with a curly box, is that still correct in some sense?
So it is correct in the sense that this is what you get if you calculate the refined range entropy of this quantity. If you wanted to talk about this as having some interpretation of a quantity you could compute in the code subspace, then of course you run into this subtlety.
Right, I guess I'm just confused about the way it's written, because the first term trace is in general involved with a state not in the code subspace, with an operator that is defined only on the code subspace. And it's just the way that it's writing.
Yeah, good. So yeah, it's a little bit of a key. The better way to write this would just be to just sum over alpha of these quantities. This is really what that is supposed to be. Okay. So what I want to do is argue that you should interpret this to be analogous. In ADS-CFT, this state manifests as what I've been calling the brain state, which is something defined by this action. So that argument works as follows. So to argue this, I basically want to argue three things. So one is that these alpha blocks have a particular geometric interpretation. The second is that in ADS-CFT, the states we're going to consider have a particular form for P alpha. And third, partially for reasons we've already mentioned, chi alpha will need to be proportional to a projector or maximally mixed on the subspace that has support on. So these are the three things that I will argue to you. So to argue this first one, so what is the physical interpretation of these alpha blocks? Well, remember that they were defined by the von Neumann algebra that we chose. And as I mentioned, I think one nice way of giving them a physical interpretation is to use the operators that they are eigenspaces for. So that's operators in the center. One such operator is the area operator. And there are other operators. So you can be more fine-grained than that. So in fact, in the center, you have something more specific. I think that y'all showed this very nicely, that it and also was showed by William Donnelly before, that you have the metric moduli diffeomorphisms on the surface in the center. But a part of that is the area operator. And that's going to play the primary role for us in this analysis. So, the first part of the geometric interpretation was that these alpha blocks are eigenspaces of the area operator. Okay, and then another way of understanding these alpha blocks is that in the G Newton goes to zero limit, the bulk geometry that's dual to some CFT state becomes fixed. So you you lose these quantum fluctuations and classical geometry. So your states become classical geometries, which are eigenspaces or eigenstates of the area operator. because it just becomes like classical GR. And so in that sense, you can see that each alpha block is associated to some particular geometry. And in the limit, okay, so and when then when G Newton is not zero, but is instead finite, in general, a nice classical geometry will have support not just on one alpha block, but it'll sort of have a distribution over different alpha blocks, and I'll argue this more concretely in a second. But yeah, so when it's finite, your nice geometries have a distribution over alpha. And different distributions will correspond to different geometries, which leads into this next point. So the distributions over these different alphas that you have are largely given by P alpha. And we're now interested in determining the form that P alpha takes for the states we like to consider in ADS-CFT. So if you look at this thing I erased, which was the form of rho tilde A, it was roughly like this. If you wanted to compute P alpha given this state, what you could do is project onto a particular alpha block and take the trace. So that's what we would be interested in doing to actually compute what P alpha was in real ADS-CFT. So you would do that, say, by doing some path integral on the boundary, or equivalently, using the ADS-CFT dictionary, you could do some path integral in the bulk to compute P alpha. And that would look like the following thing. So we're interested in computing P alpha using the bulk path integral. And the way we do that is, as I said, we want to project onto an alpha block and take the trace. So this works as follows. So we want to write down a density matrix for the bulk state. And you can do that using the Euclidean path integral in the following way. So say you wanted to compute some bulk state on this time slice. So this, what you might do is do the Euclidean path integral with some sources. And so these sources, J, define the state. And this is some functional of classical configurations that I'll call G minus and phi minus at Euclidean time tau equals 0. Okay, and I want a density matrix, not just a state. So I imagine doing the same thing, conjugated up here. So it has the same sources. And we have, this is a functional of a priori two different, of a different metric, classical metric and field configuration. Okay, so this is the picture of the Euclidean path integral that we're going to use to define bulk density matrix, which I might write as in this way. Just to really write it out, this minus I bulk is a functional of G prime and phi prime. And it satisfies certain boundary conditions, like G prime and phi prime have to obey, have to match the boundary conditions that I'll write schematically as J, like I wrote the sources. Also, at Euclidean time tau equals 0, we have the boundary conditions given by the classical field configurations. And so in principle, this is the density matrix. And so if we want to do, so now we want to do these two things to compute P alpha, and the way you do that. So the way you would project onto an alpha block is you would set as a boundary condition the conditions that define that alpha block. So for our purposes, we're only going to consider the area for now, but you could, of course, further refine what you mean by alpha blocks and hold more boundary conditions fixed. So to project, we're going to add in the boundary condition that the area operator takes on some definite value, the value you want for that alpha block. And then to trace, what we do is, sorry, I'm running really low. So you take, you set g minus equal to g plus everywhere in the bulk, and you also set phi minus equal to phi plus everywhere in the bulk. And then you just perform the path integral. Okay, and in principle, that gives you a number for each alpha. That number for each alpha is the p alpha. Okay, so importantly for us, the leading order contribution you could write down using a saddle point approximation for this path integral, which I'll just say is roughly, I'll write like this. And this is, of course, subject to the correct boundary conditions that I'll shorten to just b dot c. Got it. Okay. So the leading order, yeah. Okay. And good. So now that we have that p alpha, I want to argue that this state looks a lot like the state that you would have defined by shifting the action in this way. Okay? And that argument goes like this. So remember, we had p alpha in our original rho tilde A. And to define rho tilde A n, we shifted, part of what we did was shift this distribution to this one, which, remember, was this quantity. And this is normalized. And I'm dropping the rho alpha piece. I'm just going to say that's subleading. Okay. And now if we plug in our leading order answer for p alpha here, what you get is this. Okay. And I argue that this looks a heck of a lot like, this shift looks a lot like this shift. If Sn, so if S, the Rainey entropies for all n and alpha were equal to the von Neumann entropy of chi alpha, then this shift would look at, like, you would look exactly like you had shifted the action, which defined p alpha, to something that looks like you put in the expectation value of the area operator, which I'll write like this. Oops, I'm running out of space. Okay. So I want to note one thing. So So really what goes here is S of chi alpha, but we can rewrite this and schematically this way. So it looks exactly like you've shifted the action that defined p alpha by something that is exactly what you did in the cosmic brain prescription. Okay, and to do that, you had to define, so that was only true if the Reignys equaled the von Neumann for all n and alpha. So I'm going to conclude that the ADS-CFT code, any ADS-CFT code, exactly this is true. And that is true if and only if each chi alpha is proportional to, is maximally mixed. So it's proportional to the identity.
But isn't this statement just false?
Say again?
I mean, isn't the statement just false in conformification? The Reignys are not the same as the one.
Good. So this is only within an alpha block. So the statement is supposed to be that within an alpha block, the Reigny spectrum would be flat. So if you had a state that only had support in that alpha block, it would be flat. And the non-trivial independence is going comes from shifting dominance of these different alpha blocks.
And I hate to be picky, but I'm trying to understand. Is the claim that this is a proof of this equality, or is the claim that it is suggestive motivation for inequality?
It's a large suggestive motivation. and some even more suggestive motivation is that this same this same conclusion also makes this operator, which whose expectation value you know, was leading order contribution to this, makes this Ln equal to the area operator. Indeed, these refined Reigny entropies also are equal to the von Neumann entropy for all n and alpha if and only if chi alpha is maximally mixed. So so the upshot is that to a large extent, you can see the cosmic Braden prescription from the formalism of quantum error correction, and it's extremely suggestive that chi alpha takes this form and it is. Thank you.
Just make sure the notation there is rho alpha in that trace.
I cheated here to make it look more like the expectation value of the area operator, but yeah, it's like some rho alpha that you could say has like no support. It's like expanded, generalized to make this what I want. So it's so that rho alpha only that was defined for a much smaller Hilbert space than this rho alpha. This one is like only it's like that one except it's generalized to the entire code subspace, and then it's only non-trivial.
Yeah, it's that entire formula with UA and UA dagger included, but with alpha restricted to.
Yeah.
Is there a corresponding statement in the field theory?
In the CFT? Yeah, so in some sense, this formalism is just working entirely within the CFT. So.
What are the super selection factors? What is the requirement you're demanding the CFT?
Good. So in some sense, you can, so this operator here is some operator, these L operators are operators in the CFT. I'm not sure exactly how to write them down in the language of a fully fledged CFT.
I want something much more coarse. What is the statement that the von Neumann entropy is agreeing with any entropy mean in the CFT?
It's in these eigenspaces of this area operator. This is true, we're concluding.
Is that verifiable?
I would like to see a proof of this directly in the CFT. That would be nice. This is extremely suggestive of it just from this point of view.
It's a hard guess to verify it from the CFT point of view, because you have to understand what the code subspace is and has the control over it. It's the statement is over true in this code subspace. So you need the CFT formulation of the code subspace.
But I'm still lost in some of the details, because I don't even agree with the statement that the code subspace of this problem is the same as the code subspace you started with, for reasons I complained earlier. So, it's not clear. I mean, I take G's example of the sum of the
couple
of
later.
And that one I understand because there's nothing is happening.
There is a answer to your question which may make you happier, which is if you take a refined version of this statement that the Reigny entropy is independent and take it to higher order in G. So right now the argument only shows that it's true at order 1 over G. But if it's true, even at g to the zeroth order, at one loop order, then you can conclude that in the CFT, the modular flow of a state in the code subspace but stays in the code subspace. That's a non-trivial statement that one can check from the CFT. So preserve the sort of quote-unquote low-energy effective subspace. And if this fails, that would not be true. So that's one check.
Any more questions? And we'll thank you again.